We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Give up forever to touch you. Cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be. And I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this one. All I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't want to miss you.
So when you walk off the elevator here on the second floor in our beautiful East Side Studios, we've got these flat-screen televisions, right? We've got all these posters of some of the greats that have worked here at WABC, from Sean Hannity to Bob Grant to Don Imus. Then we've got these screens, these flat-screen TVs, you know. And on one of the screens, they are replaying the Margot Katsimatidis first pitch from last Wednesday at Maimonides Ballpark in Brooklyn. And it's great. You see Peter King, who's going to be on this show today, Dwight Gooden, John Franco, John Katsimatidis, most importantly, me in my blue jacket and a great tan, I must say. So I got up the elevator this morning, and I decided to take a picture of this replaying video, specifically the picture of me hugging Margot after she threw out the first pitch. And I sent it. Well, first I put it on Instagram, at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney. Then I sent it to Margot, who's very, very excited to get it. And that's how you start off a Friday morning. Right? We had a major, major event last Wednesday in Brooklyn, in Coney Island, where the G-Line is set to go. And it was a great event. It was baseball. It was a beautiful night. It was summer. It was Coney Island, which John Katsimatidis is single-handedly saving and bringing back to life. All that great stuff. And that's how you start a Friday morning during the summer here in New York City.
Well, I experienced the same thing, getting off the elevator, and the first thing I saw was a videotape of Don Imus.
Oh, no, you didn't. Did you really?
That was the first thing I saw. And that's not how you start off.
No, that's not.
God rest his soul. But, you know, you still have that visceral knot in your stomach when you see Mr. Imus at, somewhere around 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know. We have these discussions all the time. So Bernie and me, we used to get physically sick. We're not kidding. And we don't want to badmouth the guy again. He's long
not
dead.
Not at all. No. But that's a fact. That's the way he was.
Yeah, on Sunday mornings. Sunday early afternoon, Bernie and Sid would get physically sick. I'm not kidding you. Leading up to this just incredible anxiety going into Sunday night, knowing Monday morning we had to be back. If we had a week vacation, for example, me and Bernie, Sunday afternoon at the end of that week vacation, we really wanted to die than rather go to work the next day.
I would say we'd start like that Friday. But, that's the price we paid.
We paid
our dues with Mr. Imus, and we're better men for it.
Oh, listen.
He toughened us up.
Well, I don't know about that, but we did get opportunities like this because of our relationship with Don.
Oh, yeah, we did, no doubt, but he definitely toughened us up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no way you could last with this guy.
No.
If you didn't have something on the ball.
No question.
He suffered no fools.
He did not.
And there he is, 5 in the morning. Don Imus is sitting there.
That's funny.
It's a videotape from him when he came back to WABC on December 3rd of 2007.
So was he, like, sitting on that bar chair in Broadway?
Yeah, we did an event at some, I don't know what it was.
It was a Broadway theater.
Venue in the 40s. It wasn't really a Broadway theater, whatever it was a room, and then we had an audience, and it was a big deal. Imus is back, and he was like, well, they signed me for 5 years. It's going to take me 15 years to get even with everybody.
Oh, God.
And, well...
Oh, boy.
I don't
rubber chicken face doofus is not the image that I want to portray.
I don't know if he got even with everybody, but either way, he came back.
He didn't get 15 more years. That's part of the problem. He was gone before 15
he
years.
He got 10. That's right. He got 10 more years.
He died in 2020. I think I was coming back from Hawaii.
And when did we take
19?
Over? We took over in 2017.
2017. Right? April the 2nd, right. 2017. And then we had Donald Trump on that Friday of 2017.
Yes.
And we've been doing this ever since. And at the risk of sounding brash and arrogant, we get better every day. I mean, I'm telling you, and I mean this, I was having this discussion with Michael Brincott, who works at Maimonides Hospital, our good friend, Gay Mikey. And he's like, Sid, I don't know if you realize this, but it's so big right now. You guys are so big. And it's true. I mean, wherever I go these days, Brooklyn, Manhattan, any borough I stop in, and you know this, it used to be, God, I miss you guys at the Fan. Now it's, I love Bernie and Sid. It's everywhere, everywhere. So it's been about 4 years, but we are, I think, right about now hitting our stride.
Not to pat ourselves on the back, but we saw some ratings yesterday versus, other AM talk radio station.
And we beat them all. In the demo, our demo, we beat WCBS 880 again. Folks, you don't understand how huge that is.
And of course, slaughtered OR.
They don't even count anymore.
Right.
Our competition doesn't even count anymore.
I mean, and I'm not one to pat ourselves on the back, but facts are facts.
And we play 10-10 wins right down to 2 outs in the ninth. We beat them last time. This time I think they edged us. But that's how big this show has gotten. And along with it, our egos. Anyway, 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800. Don't you laugh, Nolan. 848-9222. We got a great guest list today. It's going to be a fun Friday show. I can promise you that. I'm off till Tuesday. I'm taking Monday off. Bernie will be here on Monday. But as we get set for a big traffic weekend, I am making my way, Joseph, to my mom's house right outside of Monticello in Conianga/White Lake, New York at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. How is the New York Thruway going to look for me?
I have at 3 o'clock this afternoon. How would I know at 3 o'clock?
Because you're a
afternoon?
Genius. You know everything.
It should be. It's going to be busy.
It's going to be busy. Very busy.
Yeah, busy. Yeah.
It's a Friday in the summertime. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. You're going to stop at that diner?
I am going to. It's so funny. I was just going to say that. Joe, you're a genius. I'm going to stop at the State Line Diner in Mahwa, New Jersey, and get myself the free salad bar, which Jewish people like me love.
Well, that's a mistake, by the way. You should just go straight up.
Go straight?
Yep. Pack yourself a sandwich and go straight, because the more time you wait, it gets exponentially worse.
Right. No, he's absolutely right.
6:41 on your getaway Friday, summer weekend, back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. So the Olympics starts tonight. I guess it starts at 7:30, NBC, the opening ceremonies. And the more people I talk to now, you have to understand, I pretty much surround myself with sane, rational people. I have some family members that are completely insane. My own sister, who we'll see this weekend, I guess, completely insane. But most of the folks that I talk to on a daily basis, surround myself with, are sane people. And they are not in for this woke nonsense and what these Democrats are doing to this country. So the more people I speak to, I have to tell you that it's a little disheartening. But the more people I speak to are with me in that they are not at all enthusiastic about these Olympics. They don't care. Everybody I talk to goes, I'm not watching. That's sad, Bernie.
Yeah, it is sad, but they brought it on themselves. This purple-haired lesbian is the ringleader, and she's cast a pall, really, on the whole Olympics, because that's the that was really the first game, and they're kneeling. And we went through this last summer with the riots, and we saw what the result was, a lot of death, destruction, businesses, livelihoods lost, all that crap. And we're done. Even the NFL, the NBA, all these people, they know. You go woke, go broke. We're just tired of it.
Tired of it.
Just play the damn game and shut the F up.
And don't kneel. And wrap the flag around you like Jim Craig did when we beat the Russians.
Right.
What is Rapinoe's first name? I forget now.
Megan.
Megan Rapinoe. She's done to the Olympics what Ebony K. Williams has done to the Housewife franchise.
Exactly right. She really has. And by the way, she works. She's a spokesperson for Subway Sandwiches. Let me just tell you something. Subway Sandwich is the most disgusting franchise. I don't know if you're going to any Subway in Manhattan here.
I used to.
These swarthy dudes there. You know there are roaches running all over the place.
Yeah,
it is their filthy hands, dirty fingernails, and now they have her as a spokesperson.
And
the food is just garbage. It sits there. You look at it. It sits there. Flies are flying all over it. And I want this, I want that, if you can get the fly off.
I haven't been to a Subway sandwich now. I used to go a lot. I'm not going to lie down in Boca. It wasn't like that. It was very clean, and I did enjoy. They make good tuna. So I used to get tuna with Swiss cheese, a little mustard on a hero. But I haven't gone in many, many years. And when I did go here in New York, the clientele was exactly how you described it. Now, don't forget, Subway is the same sandwich shop that not only employs Rapinoe now, but for many years they employed a guy out of Indianapolis that is doing like lifetime in prison for child pornography. And that was that guy Jared. Remember him?
Jared Kush. No, no, not
no, 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 no.
Jared Fogle.
Yes. Very good.
Hey, let me tell you something regarding this purple-haired, selfish, lesbian, ingrate attention seeker. You live in the greatest country in the world with the highest standard of living in civilization. We've stopped communism, Nazism, not perfect. We've ended slavery. We've come such a long way. George Foreman said it best. He said the other day, you love your country like you love your wife. It's not going to be perfect, but you still love your wife.
What if you're O.J. Simpson?
Oh, well, I'm just saying, generally speaking, there will be exceptions.
Then you're Rapinoe. Rapinoe loves his country like O.J.
That's right. Rapinoe is O.J. Simpson. Thank you. Exactly right. But he made it, I thought it was a great, great analogy, and that's the way it is. You love your country, warts and all.
Especially, by the way, OJ did love his wife. All kidding aside, he loved her a bit too much.
A little too much. Right. A little too much. But this country has tried so hard to do the right thing everywhere. And, I mean, we're the last best hope for the globe. And so for this woman to be doing what she's doing, making us a laughingstock, along with the administration, you know, going. He was over in Europe.
Who?
Spouting the same crap.
Oh, Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spouting the same, you know, Jim Crow, worst thing since the Civil War nonsense.
Oh, yesterday?
No, when he was in Europe.
Oh, I know.
A couple of weeks ago.
His wife, Jill, is actually in Tokyo right
now.
Yeah, but he's not
Tokyo.
There, right?
Good. That's the good news. The bad news is she's coming back.
Meany, are you a guy that would get wrapped up in the Olympics in the past? And how do you feel about this one?
I wouldn't say I would get wrapped up. I do get excited for the swimming. I love the swimming. But, I mean, like the basketball, I could care less about. I will say this.
Who's on the basketball team?
Not Kevin Love anymore. He's gone. So Jalen Rose got his wish of an all-black team.
Oh, wow.
Going to the Olympics.
I didn't even
which
know that.
Actually happened in 2016.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not the first time that happened. But, yeah, no, I'm going to say this, and I'm sure you guys will kill me for it. I'm excited for the skateboarding.
Why would we kill you for that?
The skateboarding.
You know, I got to tell you, I live by Riverside Park.
Yeah.
And I take Gabriel to the basketball courts every now and then. But right next to the basketball courts is this huge skateboard park.
Yeah.
Bunch of kids that wear their underwear below their knees, and they got long hair and no shirts on the way, about 80 pounds soaking wet. And they go flying in the air and crash their heads, and it's great to watch.
And half of them will be paraplegic within 5 years.
True. And you know what? There was a good point brought up when that track runner tested positive for pot. You got to test these guys because we know.
Those guys.
So yeah, that'll be interesting.
That park stinks like weed every day.
Yeah,
well, so. How do you guys feel out there? Are you with me and Bernie? We just don't care. We're actually angry. Or are you okay with it? 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Will you be watching the Olympics when it starts later on tonight? More to get to, including the politics and the National Football League. Getting ready for the Giants season and the Jets season. Big problems there. And nobody more upset about that than Joe Nolan, who's the PA announcer for the Jets.
Yeah, that'll be
and listen,
crazy.
By the way, this is a big deal.
Huge deal.
Our masks coming back. Mask mandates are coming back.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They definitely are. We talked about that last week. It's just a matter of time now.
Yeah, but we're all going to defy it.
We are?
Yeah. It's going to be a mass civil disobedience is what's going to happen.
I like what I'm hearing. So, Joe, the Jet season is canceled. I'm sorry. One of the favorite interviews we've done for me, Bernie, over the years we've been together here at WABC was her. Cindy Lauper came into the studio one morning and I still have no idea why she was on, but it was great.
She was a sweetheart. She was promoting a charity performance.
Yes.
Down at the one of these joints down in the Village.
Was it the Village or was it Radio City?
No, it wasn't Radio City.
Okay. All right. She was great, though. By the way, talking about music and Radio City, your great summer, Bernie, of music continues this weekend right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, starting Saturdays at 5 with two-time Tony nominee and American Idol finalist Constantine Maroulis, who will join us coming up at 9:25 this morning, because Saturdays rock. 6 o'clock, you get the legendary Cousin Brucey with his special guest, Richard Carpenter.
Oh, I love the Carpenters. Then at 10, it's iconic entertainer Tony Orlando featuring the sounds of Philadelphia and special guest Bobby Rydell. Then wrap up your weekend with Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra, starring our dear friend, the very talented Joe Piscopo. That's at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. Then, as if that's not enough, it's Dean and Dina Martin's Sunday Nightcap at 9, all right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. So you mentioned this mask mandate. We've been saying for weeks on this show that these blue states, these mayors, these governors, talking about this ridiculous Delta variant, which can't bother you if you get vaccinated, and really blowing a lot of things out of proportion, including my own son's doctor at urgent care. They're just itching to shut us down again. And now you say, Bernie, get ready for a new mask mandate.
The imbecile in chief at the town hall, which, by the way, got slaughtered in the ratings. They got 1.4 million viewers.
I didn't even know it was on.
1.4 million viewers.
What station was it on?
That was CNN, Don Lemon. They finally found somebody, Don Lemon finally found somebody dumber to interview than himself. And it was Joe Biden, and he made a fool of himself. I played some of the clips yesterday, the confusion. I mean, the 25th Amendment is looming for this guy. But at one point, he did say, I mean, I don't know why, but he predicted that kids are going to have to. Listen to what he said. Take a listen to Biden. 13.
The CDC is going to say that what we should do is everyone over the age of, under the age of 12 should probably be wearing a mask in school. That's probably what's going to happen.
Really? Now, how do you know that?
Why?
First of all, do you know that, I mentioned this yesterday, 335 kids died of COVID.
That's it.
And they all had serious comorbidities. And the CDC doesn't even know if they died. They can't answer the question whether they died from the comorbidity or the disease itself, or the virus, I should say, itself. Kids don't need it. They can't pass it. They don't suffer from it. I mean, they can pass it, but the teachers presumably are vaccinated. If you're not, you're an idiot. You can stay home or whatever. It's your choice. But that's what we're dealing with right now. You have parents are furious. I mean, I mentioned yesterday the JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, pediatric study, which came out two or three weeks ago, that said that kids, after only wearing the mask for 3 minutes, which, by the way, is disgusting anyway, but after 3 minutes, their blood level shows a very high level of CO2 in their blood, which is dangerous. The Virginia County School Board meeting yesterday, the parents were furious. They were yelling. Listen.
You're all hypocrites. You're sitting here without masks and you want our kids' masks.
It's not a difficult recipe. That's what your job is. Do your job and take the masks off our kids and stick to education.
And by the way, the school board members themselves sitting there with no masks on.
None of them.
Yeah. But the kids, I mean, this is the most cruel thing.
I think so, too.
Kids, you know, they need to see smiling, frowning. They can't speak. I know when I was in the gym.
How dare you?
When I was in the gym and I had to wear a mask, I didn't want to talk to people because I know I couldn't, couldn't understand them, or they couldn't understand me. I'd have to repeat myself. And plus, while you're speaking, you're spewing out all that crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad
gross.
Enough just breathing, but when you're trying to talk.
It's gross.
It's gross. It's unhygienic.
That's terrible.
And the CO2 thing, though, I mean, I don't know how everybody's ignoring that bit of science.
And that is an absolute medical fact that you get sicker from that than the virus. Got a great show coming up this morning, folks. Coming up at 7:40, the great congressman himself, Peter King. 8:40, two-time Super Bowl Washington Redskin quarterback and a brilliant entrepreneur, Joe Theismann, my good buddy, will be here. Constantine Marulo's coming up at 9:25. Liddy reports at 8:25. And your chance at $100 and a WABC Barry House coffee mug with Pete Burney, compliments of Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers, coming up at 9:40. So a monster Friday show about to come your way. Peter King, the great congressman. I love Peter King. So does Bernie. He'll join us coming up at 7:40 again. Former two-time Super Bowl quarterback for the Washington Redskins. Become a very, very good friend over the years. Great businessman, entrepreneur. Joe Theismann. His Redskins, of course, beat the Dolphins, and they took a licking from the L.A. Raiders. Marcus Allen ran all over him that day. He'll join us at 8:40. Constantine Maroulis coming up at 9:25. Liddy reports at 8:25, and beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. Don't forget, folks, you can listen to Bernie and Sid anywhere, any city across the country, any country across the world. We urge you, we compel you to download the 77 WABC app right now. Do it right now, the 77 WABC app, and listen to the this show like millions of you already do anywhere around the world. We are simulcast, we are, on Eastern Long Island, 107.1 FM Talk Radio. Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. That's how you listen to Bernie and Sid on Alexa. Social media, we're everywhere. We've all got Twitter pages at Bernard McGurk 1, at Sid Rosenberg, at Bernie and Sid. We've got a couple of Instagram pages at It's Bernie and Sid. My new Instagram page is at Rosenberg.Sydney. One more time, at Rosenberg.Sydney. We're all on Facebook. Bernie's got a page, I've got a page, and the show has a page. So there's no reason you can't keep in touch every day, even on weekends and off days, with Bernie and Sid. We are everywhere.
Everywhere. Speaking of everywhere, a lot of anti-Asian hate crimes and slurs and racism going on. And they're not being perpetrated by white supremacists. I mean, it sounds tedious at this point, but bears repeating every time. These poor Asians are getting victimized. They arrested a black woman yesterday for attacking four old Asian people out in Queens. They arrested a NYPD sergeant, Sergeant Wong. They arrested this poor guy, Sergeant Philip Wong. He's a 15-year member of the department. They put him in handcuffs. He took a man to the ground on the 96th Street subway station, and the suspect was screaming anti-Asian epithets. You know, you effing, you know, CH word that rhymes with link, that type of thing. Yeah. Can you imagine if you're a Jewish cop and he's like calling you an effing K word that rhymes with like?
Right.
Or you're a black cop and some perp is yelling at you're an effing B word that rhymes, N word that rhymes with bigger.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine that?
No.
So he beat the crap out of the guy.
Good.
Yeah, and he did it twice. Another time, the perps was spitting on him, and he got arrested.
He
got arrested.
Yeah, should have beat him up a third time.
This guy, instead of getting arrested, they should have gave him a bonus. They should have gave him a free week's vacation.
A Medal of Honor.
Yes, we need more cops like Sergeant Wong. I mean, these perps go on to Rikers Island to throw feces at the COs. Even if they do go to Rikers Island, usually they get released. So you have that, and also this was this horrible video. Last night at 8:20, still light out, 151st Street and 8th Avenue, you have four people. Now, they were not white supremacists, okay, folks? That's all I'm going to say. And the victim was not, well, she was a black woman. She's 61 years old. She's walking with a walker. These four people, for some reason, they start beating her with a cooking pot, and they steal $22 and her walker. This happened last night. This
I saw the video. It's so disgusting.
I mean, they do what? They don't value lives.
Not at all.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I mean, but it's a certain demographic, and we're just ignoring it. We're just ignoring it. What is happening with this particular demographic that they're committing all these crimes against black people? Black people are the victims. Good black people are the victims.
Not always. They also victimize white people, but yes.
That is true, but nobody cares. Who cares about the white people?
We deserve it.
Who cares
it,
about the old Asian?
No, you're right. We deserve it.
Who cares about the old Asian lady that's on life support right now? I mean, nobody cares. It wasn't done by a white supremacist. Who cares? So anyway, the imbecile in chief the other day, CNN. CNN was great. They 1.4 million viewers. 1.4 for the president to show up in an auditorium. I believe it was Ohio. The auditorium was only half filled. Only half filled. 1.4. Tucker got 2.7. MSNBC got 1.47. They barely beat out CNN that night. So the president can't command an officer, an audience. Don Lemon came off as Sleepy Joe's male nurse. I mean, he was just coddling him. Joe was totally, completely incoherent. But nobody remarks on it. This media, listen to this. I played this yesterday. Listen again.
Just like the other question that's illogical, and I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Well said.
That's underway, too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, you mean for the FDA?
What for the
mess.
FDA.
Yeah. What a mess.
So Don Lemon pretends like he knows what he was talking about.
Right. You mean for the FDA? As if he's having a real conversation.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I would have been like, Joe, you okay?
The fools, the buffoons at fake news CNN, led by David Axelrod, former Obama campaign chief, they said this.
If the presidency were a decathlon, this is sort of his event, right?
His best traits were on display tonight and reminded me of why he beat Donald Trump last year.
Oh, my God.
Biden comes across in a way that I think is difficult to demonize.
Well, that may be true. It's difficult to demonize because you pity the poor man. It's so pathetic, so embarrassing, so humiliating that you tend to pity him and not hate him. That's true. But if you really know the animal that Joe Biden is, if you really know it, you're going to hate him too.
Absolutely. With Trump, he gave press conferences and, he would make a typo in a tweet. And they're talking about the 25th Amendment.
Oh, God.
Right?
The electric chair.
And so anyway, he'll give a speech and they'll say things like
this. I think the starting point is Trump, the man, and his psychological state. Many people that I speak with, experts, think that he's evidencing dementia.
He keeps obsessing over taking a test that is given to Alzheimer's patients. It is a bizarre, bizarre thing.
Even the president's own supporters may be very unnerved. Is there any effort to reassure people that the commander-in-chief is mentally stable?
So you hear there, they're cognizant, they're aware of slip-ups by presidents. But with Joe Biden, it's this was an ace event for this guy.
Oy,
absolutely unbelievable. Look, he lied about so many things that night. He lied about crime, the border, the inflation, everything. Listen to him talking about inflation, Joe Biden. Take a listen to this.
I seem pretty confident that inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, look, here's the deal. Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation.
Yeah. He's got to say it. We're going to pass $4.7 trillion more dollars, and reduce inflation. The exact opposite of what Economics 101 tells you. You pump money like that unprecedented amounts of money. FDR didn't spend that type of money, adjusted for the years. And that's exactly what causes inflation. You're pumping this money into a recharging economy. And we're already experiencing it. He's denying it. He got into it with a restaurateur, I believe.
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah. Yeah.
This poor guy, he's like, listen, man, and we talked to Chaz Palminteri yesterday. We're getting killed because of these enhanced unemployment benefits,
yep.
Which, by the way, 24 states have declined. Their unemployment level is 33% lower than the states that are accepting the money from the
feds. Well, of course, they have to work in those states. They're not getting paid.
I mean, it makes you talk about waste, fraud, and abuse, and that contributes to inflation. But listen to this exchange here.
And we're looking to hire more every day as we try to restart our restaurant business. The entire industry, amongst other industries, continue to struggle to find employees. How do you and the Biden administration plan to incentivize those that haven't returned to work yet? Hiring is our top priority right now.
Well, two things. One, if you notice, we kept you open. I think it really is a matter of people deciding now that they have opportunities to do other things, and there is a shortage of employees. People are looking to make more money and to bargain. And so I think your business and the tourist business is really going to be in a bind for a little while.
Oh, come on.
They're going to be in a bind. And by the way, we kept you open. He said, look, the Democratic governors didn't keep them open. They closed them down.
Right.
What are you? I mean, they just flat out lie. It's really, really disgusting.
Well, the disgusting part is not even the lying. It's the idiots out there, the millions and millions and millions of Americans that buy it.
Right.
They just don't seem to care.
At one point, he told this poor guy, he says, between what the salary and the tips, maybe you got to pay them more. You know, these restaurants, they work on a very small margin.
Very small.
They're not rich people.
No.
And these people get tips. My daughter works in a restaurant. The tips are very good.
Yeah.
So they get a small hourly wage plus the tips.
Oh, I used to get – my first job was in a restaurant. Besides my father, I actually worked at the very first TGIFs in Brooklyn, The first one was in Sheepshead Bay. It's still there by the movie theater off Knapp Street. And my paycheck at the end of the week would be like $65. But on a good night, on a Friday night, for example, after the movies broke out, I could make $300. Then, yeah. Of course, I worked at L&N Seafood in Boca Town Center Mall. Same thing. My paychecks were like $60 a week. And then I made all my money
exactly.
from the old Jewish people tipping me.
Exactly the way it works. And so Biden has no clue. He's screwing these small businesses still to this day. But he actually inadvertently admitted what he's doing, what we know he's doing, what Chaz Palminteri said that he's doing yesterday. Listen to Biden.
I think it really is a matter of people deciding now that they have opportunities to do other things. And there is a shortage of employees. One of the things, we're ending all those things that are things keeping people back from going back to work, et cetera.
Oh.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, we're ending all those things that we're doing that are holding people back. In other words, paying them money to sit on their lazy fat asses. Now, I don't really have a dispute with people like that. I mean, you got to make a rational choice. But I do have more respect for people who said, you know what, instead of taking the money, I think I'll go back to work.
Yeah, but that's idiotic. Let's be honest.
It's more noble. Let's put it that way.
It is more noble, but it's stupid.
I hear you. And just one last thing on inflation. He said that there's nobody saying that this inflation is getting out of control. Nobody's worried about inflation. What are you talking about?
What?
Well, he met with Larry Summers 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Larry Summers, former Clinton Treasury Secretary. This guy's been sounding the alarm. And Biden, again, just lies about it. Nobody's worried. Listen to Larry Summers.
I was on the worried side about inflation, and it's all moved much faster, much sooner than I had predicted. And I think that has to make us nervous going forward.
Terrified is more the word than nervous.
Right.
I mean,
exactly
scared
right.
to death. Congressman Peter King is going to join us after Bill O'Reilly's morning message coming up at 7:40. Once again, two-time Super Bowl quarterback, Washington Redskins, a good buddy of mine, Joe Theismann. He'll be here at 8:40. Constantine Maroulis will be here at 9:25. Lydia reports, beat Bernie. We got a great show for you. And again, don't forget, Bernie is here Monday. I'm not. I'll be back on Tuesday. And it is the Olympics, which gets going tonight, too. So a lot going on this, a very special Friday edition of Bernie and Sid in the Morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Gotta go, no respect at all.
7:29 on your Friday morning. Lots of you folks are on the road right now, heading to the Hamptons or Fire Island or the Jersey Shore. Upstate New York, listening to the number one talk show in New York City. That's us. We are Bernie and Sid. A few things I do want to talk about. You heard the T2T.org commercial there. I spent a lot of time yesterday after the show with Leslie Slender, who's a great sales girl. She really is. And Glenn Tacinelli, who does a great job running the sales department here. And made a bunch of videos. Oh, Doug and Christian Conti and some kid who looks like another kid here. With Frank Siller, who happens to be the CEO and chairman of Tunnel to Towers. And we did about 6 or 7 videos together. You can see those on my Instagram page later on today at rosenberg.sydney. We'll put them on at It's Bernie and Sid too. And this guy, what this guy is doing, they got not one but two huge concerts, one in August, one in September, with unbelievable acts. Everybody from Journey to Wyclef Jean. He's walking, I think you know this, Bernie, he's going to drive to the Pentagon, walk from the Pentagon to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and then walk from Shanksville, Pennsylvania to Ground Zero. He'll be walking for 42 consecutive days and will, of course, be at all three sites where people died 20 years ago on 9/11, all in honor of his brother, Stephen, who was a Brooklyn firefighter who died in the towers that morning. This guy, Frank Siller, what a tremendous guy.
He really is. In honor of his brother and all the rest of the people who were the first responders who gave their lives, indeed, on that day, and the other people who were victimized by it. But in addition to all that, the Tunnel to Towers, as I said to him yesterday, I spoke to him as well, that is the gold standard for charity.
Number one.
What they
no
do
question.
For these wounded veterans is absolutely incredible.
They buy them homes, bro.
Yes, I know.
Pay them mortgages.
Handicapped, accessible, friendly homes.
Yep.
And so they're the real thing, this Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
And you can help folks. Just go to T2T.org, T2T.org. All it takes is $11 a month. I spend more than that every morning on McDonald's, I swear to God, because I got to feed John and Lombrosi and everybody. T2T.org, $11 a month, and you could be helping out somebody who put their lives on the line for this country. September 10th, of course, I'll go to Brooklyn, as I do every year, Maimonides Ballpark, for the Wall of Remembrance. And on September 12th, I'm trying to get our show to be live from there. For the first time ever this year, they're going to read the names of the folks that died since 9/11, led by Frank Siller.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Yeah, should be.
September 12th.
Yeah.
So just check out WABCRadio.com for all these events. We are we're partners with Frank. We're getting involved in everything. It's a great task. And again, Leslie and Glenn and Chad, everybody doing a terrific job here. Tunnel to Towers, also August 12th at Maimonides Ballpark, the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Dolores is the captain. They're going to play the Maimonides All-Stars, all of our favorite doctors. Patrick Borgen.
Love that guy.
Love him, too. Dr. Massey, who had a home run off of us 2 years ago. It's the second annual Battle for Brooklyn. Heshy Augenbaum, Michael Brincott, all those guys. Mike A. Do a terrific job there. That's coming up Thursday, August 12th. And you can see the flyer and buy tickets right now at my Instagram account, rosenberg.sydney.
You know, just quickly, this a border thing is people are just yawning. They're accepting that it's happening, and it is a complete and total catastrophe. I believe at this point you've had over a million people so far come across the border. And again, Biden is sending them, putting them on buses, unvaccinated. Meanwhile, he's gonna demand that we wear masks, kids wear masks, while he lets all these unvaccinated people come into from the southern border. While he won't let Canadians come down, but he's letting—I mean, a million people from all over the world, from Africa, the Middle East, South America, Haiti, everywhere, come in. None of them white supremacists, by the way. And, of course, but one of the worst things is that the fentanyl that's coming across is really actually literally killing Americans. This fentanyl is so dangerous. There's a prosecutor here in New York. Her name is Bridget Brennan. She spoke about that yesterday. Just listen to what she says.
We're on our way to having a banner year in fentanyl seizures, and that's good because that's fentanyl off the street. But I worry about what we're missing and what other people are missing across the country. Even sometimes the dealers who are purchasing the prepackaged little packs of cocaine or heroin, they don't really know what's inside either. So then they're just turning around and selling it for the same price they always sold it. And, you know, in terms of the major traffickers, they could care less. They're really just merchants of death.
You understand what she's saying. This fentanyl, it looks like heroin and like a few dots. In other words, if police seize some fentanyl and they inhale a little bit of it, they could die. But these kids out there, or these people, these adults that are hooked on opioids, taking this stuff, used to taking heroin, they don't know what they're really taking, because the dealers don't even know what they're putting into it, and they're dying. And I know people that have died from it.
Yeah, I know
this is a real thing that's happening, and this blood is on Joe Biden and the Democrats' hands, and the borders are the bimbo that's supposed to be taking care of the border. This classless creep, Kamala, doing nothing about it whatsoever. They don't care. They're useless. They're worse than useless. They're really destroying this joint.
I know. I know your family is going through that, and I feel horrible about that. You're just only about a week away from a wake.
And it's not just me. It's everybody. Thankfully for me, anyway, it wasn't a blood relative, but it's my future. It would have been my future daughter-in-law's brother. Let's put it that way. But either way, families are going through this, and nobody seems to care.
Nobody seems to care, especially
this imbecile in chief down in the White House.
You're right. Congressman Peter King, a huge favorite of Bernie and Sid and John Catsimatidis, he's going to join us coming up in about 5 minutes, and he does care.
Traffic and sports coming up next with Sydney. But right now, it is the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Larry Kudlow every Saturday from 10 to 1 p.m. Larry says big tech is stripping people of their free speech.
With this collusion between the Biden White House and Facebook, it's become very, very clear that there is a bigger problem. The censorship by Facebook is bad enough, but now we are learning that they are censoring, in part, at the urging and recommendation of the White House is you cannot have government in bed with these powerful purveyors of information. Okay, that's what they do in China. That's what they did in the old Soviet Union and frankly continue to do in the so-called Russian Federation. There's no free speech in these communist countries. The government tells everyone what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say.
The great Larry Kudlow every Saturday morning from 10 to 1 p.m. on 77 WABC.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Let's start in Boston. The Yankees were in good condition to get another win against the Red Sox. By looking for their fifth straight win, the Yankees led Boston at Fenway Park 3-1 in the ninth. But then Kiki Hernandez happened.
And 1-0. This is shot. That one driven. Gardner on the move. Can't get it. Hits, gets him against the wall. Into Store Verdugo. Here comes Duran. He's coming in. He scores! The Red Sox tie it!
That comes off Chad Green. And then in the 10th inning, Lucas Lidgut threw four wild pitches. And in the end, the Yankees found a way to lose this. This was a heartbreaking loss to the Boston Red Sox last night. They will do it again tonight at Fenway Park. Gerrit Cole is on the mound for the Yankees against these same Red Sox. Right now, the Yankees are eight back of Joe Abboud's division-leading Boston Red Sox. The Mets were off yesterday, fresh off their win in Cincinnati on Wednesday. They will host the Toronto Blue Jays in Queens later on tonight. In NFL news, the league has announced strict protocol to punish athletes who refuse to get vaccinated. Outbreaks on teams caused by unvaccinated players will cause their teams to be forced to forfeit, along with facing restrictions during team meetings and travel. The Cowboys' Ezekiel Elliott, the Bills' Cole Beasley, and the Cardinals' DeAndre Hopkins are among those who have openly spoken against getting the vaccine. And lastly, the Olympic flame is burning again after a year-long postponement. Despite COVID concerns in Tokyo, the games will officially begin today with the opening ceremonies. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, pavilion-tankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at the bottom of the hour, I'm Sid. Yeah, Dan Marino likes this song, The Dolphins Make Me Cry, Hootie on the Blowfish. This is when Darius Rucker was a pop star. Now, of course, Darius Rucker is a major country music star. In fact, I love that song, Wagon Wheel. He does another song about his daughter, which Corey Zelnick always texts me. I forget the name of it. But anyway, Hootie and the Blowfish at 7:43 on this Friday morning. Had the chance to see Congressman Peter King last Wednesday at Maimonides Ballpark. What a night that was. And at one point, there I was sitting with him and John Catsimatidis and Dwight Gooden and John Franco and Art Shamsky. And being the huge Met man that Peter King is, I know he appreciated that day as much as I did. The better part of four decades, distinguished himself, we believe, Bernie and I, as the best politician maybe ever in our great state of New York. Here he is, our dear friend, the great Peter King. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, Sid, great being with you. Great being with Bernie. You're right. That was some night last week. Also, Ed Cranepool was there.
Yep.
You can go down the list. It was like nostalgia heaven. And they're really just good, good, solid guys. And John Katz brought everyone together. It was really like a family reunion, baseball, Hall of Fame type night. It was great. And Margot, I tell you, the Mets could use her. Certainly Yankees.
Yeah, she did throw a perfect pitch. Yeah, perfect pitch. Yep. And you look great, by the way. You had the Brooklyn Cyclones Peter King jersey, and you sounded great. You were a major, major part of that day, so thank you for that. There's so many places. So many places to go with you, Peter. I know you're upset at Ben and Jerry's. But let's start with the Olympics. Start talking about the Mets and start talking about baseball. You're a huge sports fan. I'm on record saying I'm not watching. They have turned me off a lot of these athletes. And I felt badly saying that because there's a lot of good kids who worked their whole lives to get here. But I'm not interested. Neither is Bernie. Where does Pete King stand as the Olympics get set to go off in Tokyo tonight?
Yeah, even before all this started, I like the Olympics to an extent. I like to see the United States win. Most of those sports I really have no interest in. My wife loves it. I used to watch them with my kids, but I was never that excited. However, now this whole thing with not wearing the American flag or taking the knee, ridiculing the country, I've lost interest altogether. I have no intention to watch. Listen, I stopped watching the NBA. Yeah, I have a hard time watching the NFL. And all these athletes, these egomaniacs. Listen, I'm sure many of the American athletes are good people. I'm talking about those who are getting the coverage, those who are downing our country, who won't stand for the anthem, who won't put their hand over their heart, who ridicule the country. I have no patience with them at all. Why should we, life is short. Time is valuable. I mean, if you only had 10 minutes left to live, would you watch? Use that 10 minutes to watch the Olympics? So listen, I'd rather, you know, save that time and, you know, do it with my family and friends. And either that or, you know, listen to reruns of Bernie and Sid.
I love it. The pride of Seaford, Long Island, Congressman Peter King. Speaking of trash in the country, Americans trash in the greatest country in the history of civilization. I know you're fired up, Congressman King, about what Secretary of State Blinken, representing, of course, the Biden administration, inviting the United Nations to investigate, quote, the scourge of racism in America. I mean, you know, tell us your thoughts about that, because to me, I just want to barf.
This is shameful. I don't think anyone could have imagined that you would have an American Secretary of State, obviously acting for the President of the United States, calling on the United Nations, which is a collection of tyrants, dictators, perverts. I mean, these guys are robbers, they're thieves, and everything else.
It's true.
To have them come in, to have them come in and examine our country for human rights. I mean, you have Iran, you have Russia, you have China, you have so many of these petty dictators all over the world. And we have our Secretary of State, rather than saying that we're a model of democracy, he wants them to come in and investigate us. First of all, you know, if we are so bad, why are millions of immigrants rushing to get here all the time? Yep. Why is our biggest challenge trying to control all the people who want to come to our nation, supposedly this racist, bigoted country?
Yeah.
But to be saying that, and when you think of who is better, there's no country better than us in the world, and there's so many that are far worse, and they control the UN. The whole UN bureaucracy is staffed with the anti-American, anti-capitalism, anti-democracy fanatics, and to give them a hand over us. Listen, what I would like to do is let them come in and have Charles Palmentieri take them on, bring them up to Belmont Avenue, and invite them into the ball like the motorcycle.
Right, the Shea Bippy. The name of the ball was actually the Shea Bippy.
Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave. Right. One of the Instagram accounts that I go to every day, and I go to a bunch, and it's none of your business which ones I go to every day, by the way, but one of them is at Pete King. I love your Instagram account. And you're always talking about the big stories of the day, and I know that yesterday the Israeli president came out and said what Ben and Jerry's did a couple of days ago was nothing less than a terrorist attack. Now, that might sound a little rough, but the truth is that a lot of us are very angry, including you. On Pete King's Instagram, you talked about Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, I really am. First of all, the fact that these guys are Jewish, talk about self-hating. We have enough on the Irish side to do that stuff to take it on their own. But Israel is the model of democracy in the Middle East. All the years I was on the Homeland Security Committee, the Intelligence Committee, no country cooperates with us more than the Israelis. They live in the toughest neighborhood in the world, and they are under siege all the time. President Trump, through the Abraham Accords, actually started to bring the Arab nations over. And we have this, again, there's no country we count on more in the Middle East, no one who is more committed to democracy than Israel. And to have Ben and Jerry say that they're not going to sell ice cream to quote-unquote Israeli-occupied territories, if anyone has turned down the opportunity for peace over the years, it's the Palestinians. I've spoken to Bill Clinton several times. In 2000, he did everything he could to bring about a peace agreement between the Palestinians and the Israelis with Prime Minister Barak and Arafat. He did everything, gave Palestinians everything they wanted, and they walked away. And there's so many other times after that. Back in 2005, I was in Israel when Israel gave up the West Bank. It didn't help at all. I mean, there's just no matter what you do with the Palestinians, they are not committed to peace. They have no real intention of peace. And Ben and Jerry are just basically enabling violence and terrorism in the Middle East by pandering to the Palestinians.
Absolutely. I mean, people don't even realize that Israel is a modern marvel. They come up with more patents and innovations than most first world countries, period. I mean, it really is incredible what they've done with a piece of desert in the middle of, that tough neighborhood you're talking about, turning it into, a paradise, really. Congressman King, I know you're fired up also. These malingerers, these lazy Democrats refusing to do their job down in Texas, thwarting the will of the people, essentially, by fleeing instead of voting. Tell us your thoughts on these guys.
Yeah, again, total hypocrites. Even worse than that, though, is the mainstream media for being hypocrites. You have these people from Texas, Democrats. First of all, they are calling this Texas bill racist and Jim Crow. It actually protects the integrity of the ballot. It's probably far more open than the ballot situation in Delaware or or New York for that matter, but they're flying up in a charter jet. They're not doing their job. They're not wearing masks. They're drinking beer, and they're being wined and dined, entertained at the White House by Kamala Harris, by Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. And here they are violating all these codes they talk about. We have to wear masks everywhere we go. We have to do our jobs. Meanwhile, they are not wearing masks. They come down with COVID. And if that were the Trump administration, we saw what happened when they had the announcement of Amy Coney Barrett, and there some people came down. That became a super spreader. With this, no, it's just a bunch of nice people coming up there. Phonies. The Texas Democrats are phonies. But worse, the mainstream media don't even make a pretense of being bipartisan or being honest or being objective. They encourage the big lie.
You know, Peter, I've been vaccinated. So has Bernie. We both got the Pfizer. But when I walk into a crowded room, for example, and I was with you guys last week, we had about 20 people inside that room. I don't walk up to people and go, hey, were you vaccinated? Were you vaccinated? I don't care. I got vaccinated. I did my part. And if you don't want to do it, that's up to you. So when you see Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott, Buffalo Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley, Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins go, listen, I don't want to get vaccinated, and the NFL say, well, if you don't, you're going to end up forfeiting games. That's a pretty serious deal with the National Football League. What do you think about that?
It is. I can see, though, I would want players on the team to get the vaccination only because it can interfere with playing. You know, if one guy gets COVID, then they have quarantine and all that. So listen, I wish everybody would get vaccinated. But it's also time to go on with life. I mean, think of all the years we rode the subway. Imagine what was being breathed onto us by all those other characters on the subway over the years. I mean, my God.
And by the way, I always say this. COVID was the least of my concerns on the subway.
Yeah, how about tuberculosis?
Right. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, think of all the people from all over the world, all over New York, all over everywhere. Right. You know, the diseases they could be carrying. Some guys out this Saturday night, God knows what he did. And you're stuck with them on the train on Monday morning.
You know, Congressman King, just lastly, on the border, you spent time fighting MS-13 out on Long Island, successfully, I might add. But now it dwarfs what we had in the past, what's happening today at the border. I mean, a catastrophe doesn't even cover what's happening coming from all over the world. Forget the triangle countries, all over the world. What's going to be done about this?
Unfortunately, I think under the Biden administration, nothing. And this is a self-inflicted wound. I mean, President Trump, he had that work. The border was basically shut down as far as, the whole issue of illegal immigration. It wasn't even a big issue because that had been taken care of. It was tough, but it was done with Mexico. Cooperation was there. It took some heavy-handed work between the president and Mexico to get it done, but he got it done. And MS-13 was stopped. I mean, before he came to office, there were 25 brutal murders in 18 months in my congressional district alone carried out by MS-13. Since then, there has not been one, but there is going to be a resurgence of MS-13. And you're right, though, they're coming from all over the world. They're coming through down there. And also, if you're talking about COVID, I mean, people come, as super spreaders. You have people, guaranteed 99% of them have been vaccinated, and they're coming through the country, going right into the mainstream of American life. And if anything is going to be a COVID spreader, it's going to be the poorest border that was provided to us. Thanks to Joe Biden.
Can't say enough about you, Peter. What a great, great congressman. And since you've stepped away, you've been such a great part of our radio station, all of our events, coming on as a guest. We really love you, man, in a big, big way. So thank you for coming on with me and Bernie this morning, and have a great weekend.
Long live the king. We love you, Peter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Bernie.
We'll see you
soon. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Take care. Best to Rosemary, too, your lovely wife. Peter King right there in the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Still to come, he quarterbacked the Washington Redskins to not one but two Super Bowls. And he's our new entertainment reporter on Fridays and sang the national anthem at the Brooklyn Cyclone game last week. Plus, Pete Bernie. We'll be back right after this. 2 summers ago, I actually saw these guys live at Bethel Woods. What a show that was. It was the Goo Goo Dolls and Train. And I'm making my way up towards Bethel Woods later on tonight. Go see my mother, Naomi, and take my daughter, Ava, and her boyfriend, Toby, up to the estates. But, listen, I don't hang out a lot up there anymore. I don't get into the whole Yenta stuff. And I tend to spend a lot of time by myself. But I do enjoy the gym. There's a gym in Monticello. It's about 8 miles from my mom's house, Next Level Fitness. And Jeff Richmond is a guy that has called this show, Bernie, you'll remember many, many times. He's a Jets fan. He served in Vietnam. He's 73 years old, and the guy still bench presses like 300 pounds.
It's kind of reminiscent of Bo Dietl.
Same thing.
Who's
right.
about 70, and he's like a bull.
Like a bull, this guy, Jeff. And he's called this show again many times. He's in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yes,
you remember who he is.
Sure.
So as soon as I walk in there, the first thing they say is, you're covered. So he listens every day. He hears I'm coming up there, and he pays my guest passes for like 2 or 3 days. So I work out at the gym, and I'm sure I'll see Jeff Richmond coming up tomorrow. And play some Canned Heat. Bernie loves that. Through the New York State Thruway. And then, of course, the Quickway, starting with Woodbury Commons, which I'll stop off in September to get my kids some stuff. Not on the way today. And lastly, when I get there later, will I go for dinner? Will I go to Bernie's Holiday Mountain, for example? Bernie, there's your name again. Or will I stay home and watch the Olympics? It ain't going to be the Olympics, because as we've talked about all morning long,
whether it's
been me, Bernie, Peter King, and a host of others, COVID concerns are through the roof. How they didn't cancel this event? You know, 110 accredited folks at the Olympics have COVID?
Well, they're not going to have an audience for the the Parade of Nations or whatever.
The opening ceremony.
The ceremony. They won't have no audience whatsoever.
You don't think so?
Japan is, no, I know so.
Oh, you mean live at the stadium?
The stadium's going to be, capacity is 64,000. They're going to allow 1,000 people
in
the stands.
But what do you think about the TV ratings?
Oh, the TV ratings are going to suck.
You think so?
After the purple-haired lesbian, she cast a pall. And there she is doing a Subway commercial.
Yes, Megan Rapinoe.
Subway sandwiches are gross.
On Tom Brady, too.
They are disgusting. Well, either way, the fact that they have her, I don't
care
about
Brady. Listen, I can't stand her either. Like I said earlier, she's to the Olympics what Ebony K. Williams is to the housewife.
Yeah, honestly, she's disgusting.
And she's, by the way, she also does Victoria's Secret commercials.
Yeah. Get her out.
That's actually a joke. That's funny.
I mean, really?
But she cast a poll.
She's pathetic.
She cast a poll in the whole Olympics. People are now leaning towards rooting against the Americans. I mean, because the selfish, ugly Americans, they're living up to their stereotypes.
Stand up for your country.
I rooted for Sweden to beat us in the soccer game, and they did, and I loved it.
You know what the world is saying? You don't know what you have, you selfish, spoiled morons. You don't know what you have.
And then these idiots who defend these people, like when Barry, they go, listen, they're not saying they hate this country. They just don't like the song. They don't like the lyrics in the song. They don't like this. They don't like that.
Yay.
Thank you, President
Shut
Trump.
Shut up.
Shut up. Exactly. You don't like the lyrics. Shut up.
To keep it in country, A, if you have any problem, and B, get your facts straight. What Gwen Berry said about the national anthem and the third verse and all that stuff,
it's just
not
wrong.
It's not even true.
No, stupid.
Right. And it was really a cop-out on her part.
Remember what the flounder said in the great movie Animal House? Fat, stupid, and drunk is no way to go through life. And as Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, Gwen Berry.
Yeah, another real good joke.
Thank you, Mike Francesa.
Not that we were talking about you, Mike. hey, listen, the sleazebag crackhead, Hunter Biden, believe this or not, you know about the art thing. He's going to sell his art for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But Hunter,
he's got a huge show coming up.
But it turns out, and they were saying, oh, it's going to be an anonymous donor, so he won't know, nobody will know, and there won't be any influence peddling, blah, blah. Turns out he's going to meet with the potential buyers before they do the shopping.
It's a huge show.
Right. He's actually going to meet with them.
Yes.
So, and that hitherto was not going to be the case.
Right.
But it turns out it is the case. And the only guy, Newsmax and Fox News, Newsmax doesn't get called on, but they do call on Ducey, and he asked a tough question.
Peter Ducey.
Yeah, Peter Ducey.
His father, Steve, of course, sits alongside Ainsley and Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends. Peter's the son, and he's got a set of brass balls.
In this case, it was, I believe it was Cecilia Vega from ABC
7.
News. Yeah.
That's David Muir's girl.
Your boyfriend, David Muir. Anyway.
She's bad, Vega. She's liberal with a capital L.
You know, they want to make the name for themselves. Hopefully that'll spur them to motivate them to ask tough questions. Anyway, listen to this.
How does this square with the goal of keeping him in the dark about the buyers of his art as a means to prevent even the appearance of undue influence?
He's not going to have any conversations related to the selling of art.
How do you know?
That will be left to the gallerist, as was outlined in the agreement that we announced just a few weeks ago.
I'm sorry. These people, they have enormous, enormous balls. They really do. After all the corruption that we witnessed, the Ukraine, China,
Russia?
Russia, all of this stuff. And this guy hosing his dead brother's widow.
Right.
He's a crackhead. You got him on tape with hookers and...
These people are sick.
Just with his meth teeth and all that.
Having a baby with a stripper?
Right. And being a deadbeat dad. He doesn't want to pay child support.
What a disgrace.
And yet... right out in the open, they're going to pull this crap.
Right.
Brazen doesn't even cover what the hell that is.
Well, I just saw that so far there's one RSVP, and it happens to be the mayor of Moscow's wife. She'll be there. Thank you very much. Try the veal.
I told you yesterday they were busted pushing this poison racism on schools. 13,000 school districts downloaded this abolitionist teaching union nonsense. And they claimed, oh, it was a mistake. Well, it's been up on the website since April. 13,000 schools, as I mentioned. They've already incorporated what they were suggested to incorporate into their guidelines, which includes suppressing whiteness. Suppressing whiteness, believe
How
that or not.
You?
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, yesterday they said it was a mistake. We're taking it out. So Ducey, this time it is Ducey, asked smart-ass Psaki a question about it, and of course she was characteristically a wise ass.
Is the administration going to follow up with school districts to make sure that the abolitionist teaching network material is not in lesson plans?
Well, just to be clear for the context, because I know you love context of what you're asking about here, what you're referring to is a citation in a report of which there were 1,000 citations. So I'm quite impressed with your researchers for finding one of 1,000 citations. It was an error in a lengthy document to include this citation. The specific site does not represent the administration's view, and we don't endorse the recommendations of this group. And I believe it's been removed or is in the process of being removed.
The mistakes always go the wrong way. It always goes their way. And then when they're busted, of course, it's not polling well. And this is why they're backtracking from this CRT racism crap. And she's just a wise ass, doesn't know what she's talking about. And they were stone cold busted, is bottom line. And, they thought it would be popular with the, even liberals don't want it. Even black people, they don't want this garbage. They don't want to be told that they're not capable, that they're victims. I mean, it's just,
I don't think so.
It's just garbage is what it is. Hey, listen, the Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center, they told their workers, they said, look, you get vaccinated or you get fired. That's what they told them. You mentioned the NFL. At least the NFL is not mandating it yet.
But they will.
And it is their right. Any private company can do whatever any private company wants. But still, it has a totalitarian feel to it. And plus, people get vaccinated, so they're protected. I've said it a million times. Mandating vaccines is sort of a disincentive to people to get a vaccine because mandating masks is a disincentive to people to get a vaccine because then why should I get a vaccine if I have to still wear a mask?
I actually feel that way.
Right.
Like I get pissed off.
So anyway, one of the workers yesterday, he was out protesting in front of Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center. It's a woman, actually. By the way, that's where I got my braces. I had braces for like 3 years.
Yeah,
I have to take a long bus ride across the Bronx from Soundview to Washington Heights to get braces. But either way.
Well, that was my dad, God rest his soul. He had a lot of hospitals as his account. He was a chemical engineer, so he treated the boilers and the cooling towers at all the major hospitals across the city. And I worked for my dad when I first got married for the first 5 years, and that was his number one account. So he and I would go to Presby together every week for the better part of 5 years.
I love the neighborhood, by the way. There was a great Jewish deli at 181st and Broadway. My mom occasionally accompanied me to get the braces, and we would stop in there for some good food. Either way, here's one of the protesters saying, why do I have to get this vaccine?
How dare you treat people like heroes 1 minute and then cast them aside so easily the next moment? Not for the heroes that save lives in this institution, not for the heroes that save lives around the country.
And then there was a custodian, this guy, he said, look, fire me.
You're willing to lose your job?
If I have to, yes. If I have to, yes. I don't want to put something that I don't know what they put inside.
By the way, they don't necessarily sound like the Trump supporters that we've been told are the anti-vaxxers. But either way, Mayor de Blasio, he was just furious. How dare these people?
This is in the category of give me a bleeping break. When did everyone get a medical degree? Yeah, I'm sick of everyone armchair saying that they know more than the doctors. So could we stop the amateurness? You know, like this has just got to end.
It's not the doctors, you fool. It's the government.
Right.
It's authority. I mean, right. We are informed. They think we don't go online? We don't know what's happening?
I don't know.
And I'm a vaxxed guy. I got it.
Me
but
too.
People are entitled to their opinions.
Well, of course.
To their behavior.
I mean, they shouldn't be ignorant, to be honest.
No, but they're
stupid.
They're not necessarily ignorant. They may have already had the virus, and they have antibodies, and they don't want to get vaxxed.
You still have to get it. Go through the, I know you'll sick for a couple. Yes, you do.
If you already had the
virus.
Yes,
you got to get it.
Why?
Because America wants you to be vaccinated. Just do it and stop already.
No. That's anti-science.
Oh, fine. Enough already.
Enough
I mean, Ezekiel, I'm sick of Ezekiel Elliott and DeAndre Hopkins. And
poor our John O'Halloran, our phone screener, by the way, got robbed at Penn Station. We'll talk about it later.
No, we won't talk about
it. We won't talk about it at all. Oh, don't say a damn thing. Listen.
Right.
He got the vaccine, but he already had the virus, and he suffered a violent reaction. He missed like 2 or 3 days of work.
So what? Give me a break. So did Chad Lopez. He was sick for a couple of days. Get the damn shot.
Why don't you move to Cuba?
No, because I got the shot. I didn't want to get the shot.
Move to Venezuela. How about that? it's a free country.
I know, but it would be so much easier,
Bernie.
What
about being pro-choice?
I am pro-choice.
You're not.
For women, I am, yes.
Well, not for the vaccine.
No, it's just...
Let's have a little consistency.
It'll be easier if you just get it. I got to worry now that some stupid wide receiver on the Giants is not going to get them. They're going to forfeit the game against the Cowboys.
That's exactly the point. You don't have to worry. You've been vaccinated.
Yeah, but everybody wants everybody vaccinated, basically.
You don't have to worry. You've been vaccinated.
I'm not worried about getting sick.
Okay, so then what's the problem?
I don't know.
All right.
You see what's going on with the NFL, everything else.
Checkmate. They're being wrong. If you're vaccinated, you're fine.
Listen, right or wrong, I don't want to lose a game to the Cowboys because I got two dopey wide receivers who don't want to get the shot because they're ignorant. Nothing's going to happen to them.
The NFL shouldn't be mandating that players get it.
I don't disagree with that, but they are. So now what? Now what?
Well, then somebody has to fight back.
Oh, get the hell out of here. Then I got to lose to the Eagles because some idiot.
Well, maybe the Eagles will lose to you. How about that?
Oh, I'd like that. That'd be good.
So it could work either way. So relax.
You're all very good points. Lydia Reports and Joe Theismann. What a great hour. Keep it right here.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in minutes. And as a parent myself of little Julia, I wanted to protect her and all of my family members. So I purchased a LifeVac, and you can too. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeVac.net. Our president, once again, not making any sense. He was deplaning Marine One after that horrible town hall that he had on CNN, which, by the way, bombed in the ratings, and it was half empty room, and the poor guy was nonsensical. How no one is invoking the 25th Amendment at this point because he's just not cognitively all there is beyond me. But anyway, a reporter once again asked him that question regarding the defunding of police, because if you heard him in the town hall, he's like, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. Democrats don't want to defund the police. We know that's patently false. Take a listen, though, to hear this bizarre exchange in his response to the defund the police question.
We are not defunding the police. We have not.
Are there people who, in the Democratic Party, who possibly are the
Are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids?
I'm not sure. Are there people in the Democratic Party who want us to...
Mr. President,
sucking the blood out of kids? I mean, answer the question.
Where is he hearing that? He's like, that's what one random crazy person saying something like that. It's like, what does one have to do with the other? He's just I don't know why, because defunding the police is as crazy as somebody saying that Democrats want to suck the blood out of children. I do agree with that because they're both absolutely insane and make no sense and would hurt people. That's what is going on with him. Every single day it's getting worse and worse with him.
We played the Biden confused clip. It was really, really horrible. Look, he also lied about crime. We have that clip of him lying. Listen, he lied to Don Lemon, who came off as Sleepy Joe's male nurse, essentially. I mean, he just coddled him. But anyway, this is him lying about crime. Listen.
Crime is down.
Crime is down.
Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns.
Guns.
I'm the only guy that ever got past legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons.
Assault weapons. How's that going to help the Asian lady who's essentially brain dead on life support, not going to wake up? She's dead. It wasn't gun violence that's killing her, that killed her, essentially. It was crime.
Yeah.
It was crime.
Threw it down the stairs.
And there are people pulling those triggers. It's crime. It's people. It's individuals doing it.
Every time.
And, of course, there was also last night a horrible video, 151st Street and 8th Avenue, still daylight out at 8:20, of disabled woman. She was beat over the head with a cooking pot by four people. I have to say it, they were not white supremacists. And they
were beating her with her walker. The video is actually on WABCradio.com. Ray Raimondi put it up last night, so you can check it out there. And by the way, just we had it as breaking news yesterday regarding the Asian woman that was dragged down the stairs. So Curtis Sliwa teamed up with this Asian community activist, and they put up $10,000 for the capture or any information leading to the arrest of the person who did that to her. And John Katzmatidis added another $10,000.
Wow.
So $20,000. We had that as breaking news last night on Cats at Night. $20,000. John, you know, always the good guy. He added the extra. He doubled the reward for any information leading to the arrest of that guy who essentially left this woman brain dead. And she came to this country from Burma with absolutely nothing, a better life for her child, when her son was being dragged down a flight of stairs by this maniac who's trying to steal his backpack. And then, of course, as any mother would, she grabbed onto him to stop him from being dragged and to his death, or God only knows what was going to happen to him. And then she fell down those flight of stairs and hit her head multiple times, resulting in her being brain dead in the hospital.
And the point is, it is not gun violence. The same thing with that woman who, by the way, they stole her walker. They actually stole her walker.
Yeah.
It's not gun violence. What we have is we have black victims, Asian victims in these cities, and a lot of the perpetrators are black as well. We have a demographic crime problem. A certain demographic is committing the crimes. That's what we have. Certain demographic is pulling the triggers on these guns. That's what we have. Why is that happening? If we don't identify the problem, we'll never solve the problem. Now you also had Biden and Merrick Garland talking about white supremacy is the worst threat in the United States. Yet Merrick Garland was in Chicago yesterday talking about the crime problem there. But it wasn't white supremacy, like he said at one point.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
So, I mean, he's the guy, the white race. Now, what evidence do you have of these tens of thousands of blacks dying in the inner city? They're not being killed by any white supremacists whatsoever. Quite the contrary. There was a woman who was killed, a Latino woman. Maybe she was even black. I don't know. She was killed at a Rite Aid,
yep,
trying to stop a shoplifter. Yep. It was a Latino man, and,
yes,
and his sister spoke out. Now, again, this was not gun violence. This was crime. Take a listen.
There's no words. He was everything. He was everything to me.
Is she hysterical? Was her brother the victim of gun violence? Was the perp a white supremacist? No, no, and no. And these people are just turning the attorney general is a disgrace. The imbecile in chief is a disgrace. All of them are. And they're, again, if you don't identify the problem, you're not going to solve it. If you keep mischaracterizing what's happening, it's going to continue to happen.
That's it. What is the definition of insanity?
That's right.
There it is. Hey, Lydia.
It's Sid Rosenberg.
I am effing insane. I'm crazy. It has a great report.
Don't worry. Thank you. Don't worry. Megan Rapinoe, the AKA the supermodel now for Victoria's Secret, she's kneeling at the Olympics. So she's clearly going to solve all the problems for the Black Lives. So yeah, don't worry. You know, they got it covered. They're kneeling. They're kneeling at the Olympics. They're woke. So that's solving the problems.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
This report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. The world can change in minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family. It's a simple device. It's like a fire extinguisher, right? You need it in your home. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Lifevac.net.
Great job, Lydia. Check Lydia out every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock solo. Sits alongside John Katsimatidis at 5. And when we get back, after all the stuff we're going to get to momentarily, he actually quarterbacked the Washington Redskins to a Super Bowl 17 win. Another appearance in Super Bowl 18. 11 years as a big-time Washington Redskin quarterback. Our friend Joe Theismann joins Bernie and Sid next. So, between 1974 and 1985, our next guest distinguished himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. His last four seasons in Washington before he got hurt against the Giants, he won 39 of his last 52 starts. He quarterbacked the Redskins to a Super Bowl 17 win over Miami. I remember that one very well. Big game for John Riggins. And then back to the Super Bowl the very next year. And it wasn't his fault that Marcus Allen couldn't be stopped. One of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game. And more importantly, a brilliant businessman and entrepreneur these days. A frequent guest of ours and a good friend of mine, the great Joe Theismann. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sid, and good morning to you as well, Bernie. Hi, guys. How are you?
That's a heck of an introduction, huh? Pretty good. Joe Gibbs couldn't do
I'll
better.
I'll tell you something. I'm just taking you on the road for anything I do from an introduction standpoint.
He is a pro. He's a pro at that.
It's all true, though.
He really is,
it is all true. Well, I mean, you did all those things, and you were a great quarterback. But, you know, listen, I've got two guys, so does Bernie, our favorite former quarterbacks that we love to talk to today. One is you, one is Sims. Sims will not tackle anything controversial. He'll only talk football. You will talk about anything going on that affects the country, the business. So that makes you our number one guy. So let's get to you're welcome. The story about the National Football League that surfaced yesterday, which has Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott, Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. You've got Cole Beasley, Buffalo Bills. These guys don't want to get the vaccine. They don't want to get it. And the NFL is saying, well, that's fine, but your teams are running the risk of forfeiting games if, in fact, players don't get vaccinated. Seems un-American. Seems not right. What are your thoughts on the NFL's position? And if you were a player, should you have the right to get it or not?
I think, first of all, I'll answer your second question. I think every person has the right to make a decision what they feel is right for them. I think that's one of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. The other thing is there's certainly considerations when it comes to being vaccinated. And, you know, you cited some there. I would venture almost every team has someone or some players that have not been vaccinated. And you certainly run the risk of having a problem. We just have to be so diligent and so careful still. We're not out of the woods. Obviously, the Delta virus is sort of reared its ugly head. But, you know, and you sort of throw out percentages and all those kind of statistics. I think it's an individual thing, Sid. It does possibly put a team at risk if that person is not quarantined. Now, here's the thing is the NFL has been very fluid with its protocols, almost on a daily basis as we see what's happening as we get closer to camp, you know. Guys are trying to be protected in different ways. Meeting rooms have been set up. I'll give you an example. The Washington football team has moved its business operation to the stadium to allow for more space inside the facility where the players will practice and meet. So these are the things I think that NFL teams have to look at and say, how can we continue to protect our players, both those that have been vaccinated and those that have chosen not to be vaccinated? I just don't believe that you can make someone do something if they don't believe that they want to do it. And it isn't just football. You know, I have friends in business where businesses have basically said, you can't come here unless you're vaccinated. Now, there's different protocols. You could be tested every, 72 hours to make sure that you have negative tests. There's different ways to do something. In the world of business, obviously, we've learned to work from home, so you can do that. But I think to mandate someone to have to get something is about as un-American as you can get.
Certainly is. The former NFL great Joe Theismann on the Bernie and Sid show. Joe, listen, on that note, by the way, today is opening day for the Olympics. They're actually protesting in the streets of Tokyo. Believe it or not, the usually complacent Japanese people, they're out there saying, go to hell. They're mad that the Olympians have come to town, have come to their country, potentially spreading the disease. Well, where in Japan, they don't have the vaccine. However, what everybody's talking about in this country is the U.S. soccer team. And the kneeling, and the people, half the country are rooting against the U.S. soccer team. And George Foreman, I thought, said it best. He said, you love your country like you love your wife. She might not be perfect, your country might not be perfect, but you love your country and your wife, and that's the way it should be. What do you think, Joe?
Bernie, what's interesting is what we've seen in the world of athletics in recent history is more and more expression of their feelings. Whether it's as a team, whether it's as individuals, it's where we are socially today. I would much rather see us represented around the world in a way that we're proud of the country that we live in. Yes, we have issues. Yes, things need to be changed. But you know, it reaches a point where instead of all this rhetoric that we hear and see, somebody has to tell me how things have improved. I want to see a city, a mayor get on and say, these are the things that we have done to improve social injustice in this country. These are the things that we have done to help the people of the city that we live in, to help our communities. Have you heard anybody talk about what's being done other than people saying that they're not happy with it?
Nope. No, you're so right.
And that's part of, see, if we do this, if you get out there, and this is where politicians basically drive me crazy. There's a lot of rhetoric, but there's no substance. If you get out and you do something in the community and people are aware of it, then the protests don't need to happen because you're showing, you're taking action. You're doing something. It's a positive move for the people of your community, for the nation. But all you hear are protests, protests, protests. But you don't see anything on the other side saying this is what's being done. And if it is, nobody's making it very clear to anyone.
Well, it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's getting absolutely worse.
So to me, it's time that if something is being done, that people need to know about it so that they understand that the protests that are taking place, once again, a freedom in this country to be able to express yourself.
There you have it, folks.
Let them know.
There you have it.
Let the people know.
Yep. You can kick your ass on a Sunday if you're the Giants or the Cowboys and can give you really good advice on the Bernie and Sid show 20 years later. Between 1974 and 1985, the great Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann, and I still do refer to your team as the Redskins, don't get angry, but Washington football team is silly. Anyway, Joe
Well, you know what, Sid? They've said that next year there'll be a new name and a new logo. So we will at a year from now probably no longer be the Washington football team.
Good.
Which I'm glad. Didn't want to be referred to as the Washington football team.
Come on. It took you 2 years to come up with the
make
name.
Make it the Washington Theismanns.
Bernie, listen, I think it was very smart of the organization to take the time they did because obviously if you hurried into something, you'd upset somebody.
Right.
And you may potentially upset somebody anyway. But at least now, I mean, they've talked to alumni. They've talked to fans. You have a marketing team. So there's been a lot of information that's been accumulated to be able to make an evaluation of, okay, this is the name. This is what we're going with. So I'm glad they took the time they did. There was no reason to hurry into something. And I'm excited to see what it's going to be. And people keep asking me, do you know, Joe? Do you know? No, I have no idea what it's going to be.
Okay. Now, Joe, are you still involved in the restaurant business, Virginia, D.C.? You still have your restaurants?
Yes, I am. I have one in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right, in Virginia, right. So one of the major stories we cover every day, Bernie, is like we're very close with Chaz Palminteri. He owns restaurants here in New York, the great actor. And he's got difficulty staffing his restaurant because folks are banking $800 a week to stay home. Why would they go to work? They make less money. Are you experiencing difficulties in staffing your great restaurant in Virginia?
I think every restaurant is. The restaurant business has been one of the hardest hit. I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, you pay people $7, $8 and hope they exist on tips. People make more until you stop giving people more money to stay home and give them an opportunity to go to work. This situation is not going to get better. I don't care where you are in the country. I don't care what type of restaurant you have in the country. As long as people can stay home and make more money or comparable money by not going to work, that's what's going to happen. So what has to happen is there has to be a time when the subsidies will stop so that people have the initiative and want to go back to work. And I've said this, Bernie, if you have the inclination that you want to work at all, this is the perfect time to do it, because sooner or later, the government will stop giving money. I don't know when. I don't know if it's sooner or later, but at some point they will. Then there's going to be this giant pool of people that will want to go to work. You will have lost the opportunity to receive a bonus for showing up, and probably an hourly wage in most instances that would be better than possibly what you might get before. So this is the while people are, I mean, everybody out there is looking for it, and it isn't just our business in the restaurant business. You know, I do speeches around the country. You can't find people to work manufacturing. Why do you think goods are so hard to get? Why do you think plants are having trouble delivering things to restaurants? Because there's nobody there to work. Because people say, look, you know, I can make more money or as much money sitting home doing nothing because the government keeps giving it to me. Why should I go to work? I mean, it's time that they have to step back and take a look at the industry, because so many restaurants have closed and will never open again. These are small business. We're small business owners. You know, we want to continue to serve the community, but how can you continue to serve a community that is not inclined to want to go to work?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, and it's been documented. The 24 states that rejected the $300 enhanced unemployment bonuses, or whatever you want to call it, they've experienced 33% less unemployment than the states that accept it. So it's already been documented. You're so right, Joe Theismann. I do want to ask you quickly, though, a football-related question. And I only care because I watched Aaron Rodgers host Jeopardy, and I love the guy, and I have friends who are Packers fans. But he says he doesn't want to re-sign with the Packers because, A, he doesn't like the culture there, and, B, people think, they surmise that he was mad that they drafted a first-round quarterback. So what's the deal with the Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, this is my summation of that situation. Number one, Aaron is a great personality, and there's been matter of fact, the single biggest conversation that's been had in the offseason is not the new kids coming in, not the Trevor Lawrence, not the Zach Wilson, but what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. That situation for him is toxic right now. When it first started, I thought it was 80-20, he'd be a Packer. Now it's probably 90-10, he won't be. They wanted to make him they wanted to give him an extension. They wanted to guarantee the end of his contract. From what I understand, they were going to make him the highest paid player in football. None of that matters to him. What he was upset about is not the fact that they drafted Jordan Love. And in a way, I feel sorry for Jordan Love. He's sort of caught in the wash of this giant storm. But the fact that they traded up to get him, and yet there were other needs that Aaron felt on that football team that could have helped them get past, you know, just the NFC championship game and get, you know, into the Super Bowl and have a chance to play for another championship. I think that's what bothered him. Yeah. So this is what he's basically saying to the Green Bay Packers. Look, you traded up for Jordan Love. You didn't want to get what I thought you should get. You wanted the young quarterback. Good for him. You got him. He's yours. Now let me go someplace else. Here's the problem. He's under contract. And if you were to trade for him, you're getting what, a 37-year-old quarterback who probably is going to get, I think, looking at Aaron, maybe 3-4 more years. What are you going to have to give up from your franchise to get someone like that? It's going to be at least two number ones.
Yep.
You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like Kevin Costner at draft day. we'll give you three number ones, right, and then they got to figure out a way to get something back. And it's like, that's what it is.
Yep.
Wow.
But he has options. That's the thing. But to me, I still believe Aaron wants to play football.
Okay.
The Jeopardy and everything is out there, but I really believe he wants to play. He wants another shot at a ring.
Absolutely. He comes off an MVP season. He was brilliant last year. Well, on the way out of here, Joe, forget about Aaron Rodgers. I will tell you this. I am personally inviting you to sit right next to me in the Canyon of Heroes
when Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, celebrates a Giants Super Bowl championship this year in New York City. You can sit right next to me. How about that, Joe? You can even wear your old Redskin jersey. How about that?
Sid, I appreciate that so much, but, it's just like you may have to help me into the chair because that's how long it's going to take. That's all I can tell
Poor
you.
Guy.
Hey, I happen to love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know him personally. So the
Reds,
yeah, that could be fun this year down there. We'll talk quite a bit throughout the season. You're brilliant. You were great again today. You really are a great
sir.
Guest. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Joe. Thank you so much.
Always great being with you guys. Take care of yourselves, and please, everybody, stay safe.
Ah, the great Joe Theismann. There he is, a tremendous quarterback in the NFL, an even better guy and brilliant, as you can hear. Joining us here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show as teams get set. NFL training camp set to open in the next couple of weeks all over the country. We still have another big hour to come. It's Bernie and Sid, the Friday edition, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Oh, this is Tony Orlando. We'll get to that in a second here. Folks, go to WABCRadio.com now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning. That's how you know you're a big-time radio show. You got our own coffee. And I actually had a cup this morning of the Barry House Hazelnut Coffee, which is very, very good. Register now. Good luck. Once again, WABCRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, your great summer of music continues this weekend on 77 WABC, starting Saturday at 5 with two-time Tony nominee and American Idol finalist Constantine Maroulis.
He's coming up next.
That's right. But anyway, Saturday's rock here at 77 WABC, followed at 6 by the legendary Cousin Brucey with a special guest, Richard Carpenter. Then at 10, it's iconic entertainer, the aforementioned, or the man you just listened to, Tony Orlando.
Oh!
Featuring the sounds of Philadelphia and special guest Bobby Rydell. Then wrap up your weekend with Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra starring Joe Piscopo at 6 o'clock. Then it's Dean and Dina Martin's Sunday Night Nightcap at 9 o'clock. All right here, ladies and gentlemen, on 77 WABC.
So the conversation moments ago at the break was, you know, started doing traffic there, Ray Raimondo and Joe Nolan talking about 287. And I'm like, I'm telling you right now, Bernie, if Paramus gives me trouble today, I'm going to be furious. Because I go upstate through New Jersey, and usually Paramus is a pain in the ass. But I like to go through Paramus and that area, Route 4, because they have a Starbucks. I get to use the bathroom if I'm hungry.
You're talking about Route 17.
Well, yeah, but then
don't
4
be
to 17, right, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, Governor Christie just said, don't be stupid.
Well, I understand that. Now,
Get the hell off the beach.
Shut up! I could take the Palisades, which I take to my sister's house in New City, and nothing bores me more, except in the fall when the colors start to change.
I can't believe
I need restaurants!
That's idiotic.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you want to go on Route 17 with lights and traffic?
What if I want coffee? What if I have to make a duty?
First of all, you be prepared. Bring it with you. You don't want to be stopping.
You're
leaving at 3 o'clock, you don't want to be stopping because the more you stop, the more traffic exponentially increases while you're buying your stupid coffee.
I have to stop at the State Line Diner in Mahwah. That's what my dad did every single trip.
Then you're creating your own problems.
Why? Why can't it just stop a lot of traffic?
You go up the Palisades. You got
so
a beautiful
boring.
View of Yonkers and Tarrytown and whatever.
Let me tell you something,
Hastings on Hudson.
By the time I get to Orangeburg, I want to drive off the road and kill myself. I literally want to drive off the road.
That
my,
is so
that's
stupid.
Like exit 6.
It is a beautiful scenic route.
Oh, it's brutal.
And you want to take Highway 17? That
yes.
makes absolutely no sense.
What?
I would not go with you.
You're going with me.
I would.
Be ready at 2 o'clock.
I would rather party in Washington Square Park over the weekend than go with you up Route 17.
You'd rather go to a wedding.
Bro, you're right across the board.
Thank you. Listen,
maybe I'll change my mind, but I'll text you. I will text you and let you know. But right now,
you have to take the Palisades unless you want to. You're creating problems. You're leaving too late anyway. 3 o'clock is too late.
Well, but people have to work. I don't know. Ray, what would you do? Ray Raimondo, given the choice. Bernie says Palisades.
It's Raimondo, okay?
Yeah. What would you do? I'd call
Raimondo.
Listen,
the Palisades is beautiful.
It is?
Right along the water
right.
there. You get beautiful views. You could stop on the Lover's Lane over there.
Lover's Lane?
Yeah.
To do what?
Wait a second.
You nuts? What do you think? This is like Bash Times at Ridgemont High?
Did you hang out with Governor McGreevy at one point? What the hell is this?
He's on my phone list, Bernie. Lover's Lane. We're looking at each other like, what the hell is
this? What are you talking about? Just trying to get somewhere.
Lover's Lane.
Maybe you should come with me.
No, you can, like I said, you can stop. They have these rest stops where you can look across the Hudson at Ghetto Square in Yonkers, Dobbs Ferry, beautiful places.
I know. I've done all those things.
Okay. Well, that's what you do.
I'm taking Route 17.
Listen to your pal.
I'll see you at the mile, at the state line
down
there later
buddy.
On today.
Hey, listen, I told you, I mentioned to Joe Theismann, they're actually protesting in the streets of Japan. They're mad. This Olympics is turning out to be a disaster. They may very well cancel it. I hope they do. I wish they do. Apparently, the Japanese people do. They're marching through the streets. Go to hell, IOC. Go to hell. They're mad that all these athletes are coming in with the pandemic. Remember, they don't have the vaccine in Japan. They have a big problem. They don't want this. Listen to this crowd. Yeah. All right. I don't know if that's a good thing that the Japanese people are getting angry again.
I know.
In this case, they make a good argument. They make a very good argument.
I really thought they were going to cancel this thing. I'm shocked it's going off tonight. Two days ago, I would have bet whatever salary I made, which figures, that's why I lose every time, that they would have canceled the Olympics.
And then you have this purple-haired lesbian just casting a pall over everything, the threat out of the box, before the opening ceremonies. She's got the European teams kneeling, she's kneeling, this little ingrate rat. George Foreman. He was asked about this. I think he was talking to Kilmeade on one of the Fox TV shows.
Oh, really?
Or it might have been on. He's going to be on. Foreman's going to be on with Kilmeade today on WABC Radio.
Does he still make the griller, the barbecue?
Yeah. And he still has 10 kids named George. Yeah. They're just a little older. But anyway, this is what he said about the flag and your country and these people kneeling. And I just love this. Take a listen.
Because I've loved America all along. I've always loved. And once you fall in love, just like falling in love with your wife, no one can say anything about it. The next night, she's my wife and I'm going to stay. That's why you make that thing until death do we part. And that's why nothing has ever shook my faith and love in the country. And when you love a country, nothing can bother you. If you are halfway in love, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
Now people have called for boycotts of the Foreman grill. You know that, right?
And by the way, he's been divorced 5 times. I'm not even sure that's true.
By the way, they're not boycotting anything.
No, of course not.
No, but that was that's brilliant. I think that, you know, he's not the most articulate guy. But that is just from the heart and well said.
If you got punched in the face for 10 years by Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, Ernie Shavers, and Ken Norton, you may also talk like that. Right?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. But
I love
either
George.
Way.
Remember when George Foreman ran to Holyfield? He was like seven. How old is George Foreman? Didn't he fight when he was like 60?
Wasn't he? He was the Thriller in Manila guy, right?
No, Joe Frazier.
Excuse me.
That was
the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yes, that was Foreman.
That was in Africa when they fought. Yeah.
John, how old is George now?
He's 72.
That's all he is? Interesting. Okay.
Wow. And he's still stringing them sentences together, bro.
He's great. No, he's great.
And this purple-haired lesbian lady that we talk about that's kneeling all over the place and trashing the country that gave her riches, and she's living like a queen, this woman. She actually works for Subway Sandwiches. Folks, Mark Levin wrote this in American Marxism. It's time.
Wake up!
To fight back. It's time that we use their tactics against them.
Stand up for your country!
Okay!
In other words, boycott Subway Sandwiches.
I already did years ago.
They'll give you diarrhea, A.
They do.
They absolutely are the most disgusting franchises. These people these swarthy characters.
Gross.
You know, you see the fly. They leave the food out in the open air.
It's
you
gross.
See flies on them, things crawling on them.
They do make a good chocolate chip cookie, though. I don't know how they do that, but I did like their cookies and their tuna.
That's true. If you want a good chocolate chip cookie, though, you can go and buy from Chips Ahoy.
Oh, you're 100% right.
The damn grocery store.
Damn right. We're done with Subway. We're done with it.
Stand up for your country.
That's it.
Get them out.
And also,
hey, sick.
Well, thank you. If you don't like Rapinoe, then you can't just do Subway. You also have to do Victoria's Secret.
Oh, but God. Done.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like to see your significant other in a nice piece of lingerie?
Not Victoria's Secret lingerie.
You don't need that.
That's over.
That's
out.
Done. All right.
No, but by the way, that is so, I don't know, 20 years ago
it
anyway.
Is? Yeah. I still like it. I got to tell you, remember years ago that...
Is she modeling that stuff, by the way?
Oh, God, I hope not. She can't model. What was the name of that politician? Castro. That little bastard.
The twin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his brother came out, and his brother listed all the companies that Donald Trump dealt with. So what we need to do on WABCRadio.com... Forget about
that.
Oh,
you're talking about the politicians.
Yes.
Not the Cuban...
Not the Cuban guys.
Right, right. Julian and...
Julian and what was the brother's name? This real
Joaquin.
Jerk. Joaquin. He was a real jerk off, Joaquin. So we need to list on At It's Bernie and Sid all the companies that Rapinoe and all these America haters deal with. So we can have our listeners boycott. Just like Castro did to Trump, we're going to do it to them.
Kaepernick,
list them all on At It's Bernie and Sid and boycott all of these companies.
LeBron. It's time to take LeBron off the Wheaties box and put the Greek Freak or put George Foreman back on in his heyday. They do have Wheaties, which I still eat. They have pictures now of Muhammad Ali. They've recently started putting. So do that with George Foreman. He's coming out as a great American.
Great idea.
Come on.
Great idea.
Let's
you
get
still
rid of
Wheaties?
These ingrates.
You still eat Wheaties, huh?
I do.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Why?
Well, like
why are you surprised?
No, I didn't.
What are you still a Cap'n Crunch guy? Fruit Loops? What?
I'm 54 years old, bro. I don't usually eat a lot of cereal. I know you eat
well,
cereal
you
every
eat
morning.
Cereal. But... What has age got to do with it?
I feel
get
like when
stuck
you're
in traffic.
When you're an adult and you're looking at the boxes of cereal on Cristini's, it looks a little odd.
You eat oatmeal, you'll live to be 110.
I know that.
Oatmeal and Wheaties, that's my combination right
bro,
there.
Bro, you're right across the board.
Right?
There you go, Beningo even agrees.
Joe know what Bodo know.
He does. We got Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. We'll take a contestant coming up next segment. Your chance at a $100 gift card and, of course, a WABC Barry House coffee mug, all courtesy of Pete Morgan and our dear friends at Peerless Borders. But coming up next, he's now on Saturdays at 5 on this station. He plays great music. He really does. And he's a very, very funny guy. Constantine Maroulis makes his Friday appearance on Bernie and Sid. Coming up next.
You know where you could stick it? You know where you can.
All right.
This is the 77 WABC Entertainment Report. Here's Constantine Maroulis.
Check out Constantine Maroulis now every Saturday at 5 o'clock, part of our big music weekend. You go from Constantine to Cousin Brucey to Tony Orlando on Saturdays. And then, of course, you've got Joe Piscopo with Sinatra and Dina Martin, Dean and Dina Martin on Sunday. So the weekends are filled with great music. Here he is right now, the host of that great show, Constantine Maroulis. What's going on, brother?
What's going down, boys? What's going down, Broadway? How we doing?
Well, Broadway, there is some stuff going down. You know, it's funny. I thought for a reason last couple of weeks that Bruce Springsteen was the only show that was going on because I was under the impression, Constantine, that like Lion King, for example, and even Death of a Salesman, these big shows were coming back in September. But I guess I'm wrong. I guess there's a bunch of shows that are on right now besides Bruce Springsteen, yes?
Dozens of shows have announced plans for reopening or opening. Of course, after 2 years of a shutdown, it's been a hellacious time for actors and artists on the Broadway, but really internationally as well. Yes, Bruce is back. He sort of ripped the seal off the Broadway shutdown with his solo show. Not a bad gig for the boss. He gets a chopper in, gets dropped off at the theater, picks up his acoustic, goes out there, plays sold-out show, grabs a $2 million check at the end of the week. No big deal for the
By the way, have you seen that? There's no bigger Springsteen fan than me, not Chris Russo, not Chris Christie, than anybody. But I'm still yet to see that show. Have you seen it?
Saw the show. It is beautifully done. And, you know, to see the boss in an intimate setting like that, it's pretty cool, definitely. You know, we got to see a little glimpse of that, maybe 10, 15 years ago when he did the VH1 Storytellers. Yep. Yep. He did a little bit more of the sort of breaking down the songs and whatnot. But this is really beautifully done. His wife accompanies him a bit on stage as well. It's just intimately lit. And it's just really a nice show. It sounds great. And, you know, I don't care who you are, there's nothing like performing on a Broadway stage. Even if you're the boss who's played stadiums all over the world, there's something about that intimacy, that stage, that just brings out an additional sort of magic. But Lots of shows, actually, in the works. Sarah Bareilles will return to the title role in Waitress September 3rd, now at the Barrymore Theater. Of course, she's the composer of the show. She starred in the show briefly. She will return in a limited engagement September 3rd. Definitely check that out. It won't be open for very long. Two-time Tony nominee Adrienne Warren will return to the title role of Broadway's Tina, the Tina Turner musical, for a limited run engagement. Nominated for 12 Tonys, Tina will reopen at Broadway's Lunt-Fontanne October 8th. Ali Stoker of Ridgewood, New Jersey. I produced this girl in Spring Awakening a few seasons ago. She's a remarkable talent. She's in talks to star in Being Human, a film. Stoker is the first actor to win a Tony Award who uses a mobility device. Wow. She won the Tony, of course, for her revival and beautiful production and performance in Oklahoma at Circle in the Square. Guys, a mobility device, otherwise known as a wheelchair. Human herself, a Brooklynite, a lifelong crusader for the rights of the disabled. She contracted polio in 1949, so that's for you guys right there. But, you know, yeah, as exciting as it is that Broadway is back and all the great plans, internationally, not so much. In Japan, Jesus Christ Superstar, well, they just postponed their opening at Theater Orb in Japan due to COVID. Definitely a bunch of positive tests rocked the cast and the crew. No plans to reopen just yet. Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber's much-anticipated production of Cinderella, an all-new show, cancels its opening night in the West End in London. He is pissed. He's been very outspoken over the two-year shutdown. He's been going after the UK government to step in and help. He's orchestrated pilot programs to show how theaters can open successfully and in a safe fashion. You know, he's dumped plenty of his billions of dollars into ventilation and whatnot, and still no help from the government and no plans to reopen just yet. He thinks the West End, which is the Broadway, of course, of London, is in serious jeopardy of basically just evaporating.
Wow.
And positive test, actually, unfortunately, last night popped up. Shakespeare in the Park, of course, the public theater, Delacorte, they have their production of Merry Wives opening. They are postponed indefinitely. For the time being, I think they're going to figure it out. You know, Broadway and here in New York, we've done a little bit of better job than internationally with handling these situations. I think they've isolated it. They've canceled tonight's performance as well, but I think they're going to get going again. But there is a lot of positive news.
Well, listen, okay? Let me ask you this. Constantine Maroulis, yes, on the Bernie and Sid Show. I have to ask you, back to the UK. Eric Clapton has made a statement. He says he's not going to perform any concerts in the UK if they mandate that people at least show a vaccine passport. He's not going to perform to segregated audiences, he says.
Well, look, Mr. Clapton, always been an outspoken artist, an incredible talent, you know, world, just an icon, really, a Hall of Fame, incredible guitarist. In fact, I don't know if you got to catch the McCartney 321 documentary on Hulu. Definitely check it out. You forget that Clapton does the solo on Guitar Gently Weeps, the Beatles song. But anyway, yes, he, and that's just not in the UK, that's internationally. He has shows all over the world right now. Look, you know, that's what he believes. I don't know if it's so much that he's anti-vax or if he's just, I don't believe in segregating my audience and whatnot.
He's pro-liberty.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
I would love to see him perform. I think that the unions and I think that productions all over the world have done a really good job to try to keep people safe. And I wish we can all play along nicely. But you have to respect his opinion.
Damn right,
and
you
if
do.
That's even going to limit, that might limit where he can play.
He's Captain America. Eric Clapton.
Come on. Layla.
Cocaina. Well,
Goodfellas.
Damn right.
We love Clapton for sure. But we hope to see him again soon. And let's just hope that we can all collectively get through this, and then we can all be together again in concert definitely soon. Hey, in some good news here in New York, Radio City is back. The Rockettes are back after missing last year's Christmas Spectacular for the first time in 87 years. Of course, the Christmas Spectacular has played to 60 million people since 1933. The girls Santa, the camels, they will be back this November January.
While they're coming back, they should get some girls to replace the girls that have been there since 1933.
Come on.
Wait a second. Jeez.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm just kidding.
No,
not really.
You know,
they're beautiful.
Some fun things with the Spectacular over the years, and MSG and the people at Radio City, they do an amazing job. If you haven't been to Radio City.
Speaking of mobile devices.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, you better get there.
No, I've been there. It's great.
That place is incredible. I mean, the bathrooms alone, it's like it looks like 1933 in there in a cool way. So we're excited about that.
Wait a second. You know, you're encouraging people to go to the Christmas Spectacular and spend time in the bathroom?
Yes, sir. It's like you go in there and it's like an Art Deco time machine that you've walked into, and it's a good time. It's a good time,
you know,
for sure.
You know Jim McGreevy, too?
I do not. No, I do not.
So listen, somebody said to me, I forgot who it was, but I'm being completely honest. They go, I like this Constantine. He's talkative. He's funny. And they love the music you play. We only have about 60 seconds here to go, Constantine.
Cool.
Give us a couple of tunes we're going to hear when we tune in at 5 o'clock tomorrow night to your show.
Oh, man. Of course, people have gotten to know me from American Idol and Rock of Ages and all kinds of cool Broadway shows, my touring life. So I really try to tap into the soundtrack of my youth. Songs I grew up with that inspired me, either from film, you know, the icons like Prince and Bruce and Madonna and Michael Jackson, of course, Bon Jovi, everybody. This week we have some fun stuff. We're Rick-rolling our audience. Do you guys know what that is?
Yes, of course, Rick Astley.
Yeah, we're going to be Rick-rolling the audience, so that's going to be fun. Karaoke with Constantine, bringing in one of my Rock of Ages stars to bang out some karaoke with me, because we're playing Broadway's Rock of Ages band Sunday night at the Queensboro Performing Arts Center. Check us out. I'm playing shows all weekend long. I'm going straight from my radio show to Atlantic City. I'll be at Borgata Saturday night.
Nice.
So we got some great shows.
Damn.
And
you.
Great songs playing tomorrow. Actually, yeah, tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. Wow. It goes by fast, boys. We're already in week 3 of the Constantine Merula Show, because Saturday night rocks. I can't believe it.
Well, you're doing a great job. Seriously, we're thrilled to have you here on this show every Friday. Continued success on Saturdays. And keep up the good work, Constantine. You're a bag of fun. Thank you, pal.
You guys are the best. This has been your Broadway Blitz.
Stay safe, my brother.
I like that.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Time to beat Bernie. Donna is on Staten Island, a retired e-commerce. I don't know what that means. Donna, what's going on, sweetheart?
Hi, Sid. No, I work from the house.
Haven't I talked to you?
In other words, I'm retired from the marketplace. However, I sell things online.
But haven't I talked to you before on this show like a bunch of times?
Me? No, never. I never called up.
Oh, I feel like I know you. Okay. All right, so...
No. I'm from Staten Island. My voice maybe sounds familiar, but I've never called you guys. I never got through.
All right. Well, congratulations on getting through this
morning.
Thank
you. Thank you.
You listen every day, I imagine?
I listen every day, and I will just tell you that I failed history, but I'm very good at entertainment. So hopefully, we'll have a little of both.
Oh, no, you're screwed. I mean, you are royally screwed here.
I know. It's a handicap here. Bernie's so good. I had to go to summer school for it. But you know what? Why not try on a Friday?
When Bernie was out and they played Beat Sid against me, we had a lot of entertainment.
I called every day, but I wasn't one of the people that got through. I would have done very well.
Damn misogynist cast of mine.
I know the Bravo stuff. I even know like obscure trivia.
You know the Bravo stuff? Are you going to come to Maimonides Fall Park August 12th and see the Housewives of New Jersey play Maimonides?
Possibly. I won't say no and I won't say yes.
All right, fair enough. What's your favorite Bravo show?
I like New York, believe it or not. But right now it is annoying.
Ebony's annoying, yeah. And I like Ebony.
I like the girls. I do. I like. Well, I
who
know,
do you like?
Places,
who,
I like?
Who do you like? Ramona? You like the Countess? What do you
I like? No, I love Ramona. I would be. You know what? I think I wouldn't be friends with Bethany at all. She'd annoy me. She would drain me. Yeah. I think I would be friends with Ramona most of the time.
Okay.
Luann, no, she's annoying. But I like watching.
All right, we got to play the game. But they got that show, that other reality show that they on Staten Island with all the ex-mob wives. You know those people?
I run into them from time to time. Yes, I've seen them from time to time in the various restaurants.
That's the O'Toole family. And is Renee Graziano out there, too? I think she is, right?
She's in Arizona, I believe. But she visits. I don't know. They come back and forth, but the other one's a heel.
All right, well, let's play the game. That was enjoyed the conversation, Donna. Thank you, sweetheart. Here we go. What is the sea name for an explorer that is located in the northern part of the Pacific between Siberia and Alaska? What is the name of the sea?
The Bering Strait.
Yes!
Woo! Straight's fine. We'll give it to her. That's good. That's fine.
In 1854, who was the inventor that demonstrated his elevator safety device by ascending in an elevator and having the rope cut?
That was the elevator name guy.
Yes. I'll give you a hint. Blank Day and the Nights from Animal House.
Campbell?
Otis. That would be
Otis. That was the elevator name, right? Okay.
Yes. Yes, what is the Yiddish? What is the Yiddish word for a gossipy woman? Talk about the housewives. I said it earlier today.
It's not Bala Busta. It's a Yento.
Yes. Yento. You say Yento like Bob? I said
you know
a Yento. Yenta's
Bernie
right.
might not know that one. Bernie
He works with me for 20 years. He knows all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Don't give him any hints, though. Don't give him hints.
Are you Italian?
Half.
All right, good. Before President George W. Bush, who was the last United States president to have both his parents attend his inauguration? Wow. Very cool.
Oh, yeah, before Bush.
It's not that hard. Think about it. Come on, think about it. What parents do you know that are famous presidential parents? You knew them both.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Yay. Stay up, pray.
You are kicking ass, Donna. Lastly.
Yes, I'm kicking butt.
There you go. Don't say ass. It's a horrible word. On what state's license plate will you find the slogan, Land of Lincoln?
Nebraska.
Wrong, you two-legged back of ass. Right?
You're like, so Nebraska.
Illinois. Was it Illinois?
It's Illinois, but it wasn't a bad
guess. I meant Illinois.
Well, but that's not a bad guess because the University of Nebraska, which is a big-time school, is in Lincoln. So it wasn't a terrible guess.
I meant Illinois, though.
you got three right. You did very, very well.
Thank you.
You got a great personality. Let's see what Bernie does, okay?
Thank you, Sid. 2.5 right. You helped me.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
That was number 4. It was not easy.
Oh, you got to get 4 right. This is where guys become jerks. You're like, I hope she's as cute as she sounds. Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's all. When you're a guy, that's what you think. She's great. She got 3 right, okay? Donna from Staten Island.
Donna!
What is the sea name for an explorer that is located in the northern part of the Pacific between Siberia and Alaska? What's the name of the sea, Bernie?
Between Siberia and Alaska?
Yeah.
That would be the Bering Sea.
That's right. In 1854, who was the inventor that demonstrated his elevator safety device by ascending in an elevator and having the rope cut?
That reminds me of Cheech and Chong.
Really?
Otis Elevator. I'm Otis Elevators, and I had my ups and downs.
That's true. It reminds me of Animal House, the great Otis Day and the Nights. Do you mind if I dance with your date?
Where the white women at?
Damn right. Number 3. What is the Yiddish word for a gossipy woman, Bethany Frankel?
Or a guy, Sid Rosenberg, Yenta.
You know, Bernie's right about that. I am a Yenta. All right, if you get one of these next 2 right, you win. Before President Bush, 43, who was the last United States president to have both his parents attend his inauguration?
Both his parents. Yeah. Before Bush, 43, wouldn't have been Bill Clinton.
Nope.
It wouldn't have been Bush, 41. It wouldn't have been Ronald Reagan. It would not have been
Carter. No way.
Jimmy Carter. It would not have been Gerald Ford. It would not have been Richard Nixon. It would not have been LBJ. It would have been, I have to say, JFK.
Damn right. Joseph and Jackie were there.
Yeah, and he was there in a wheelchair because, well.
Yeah, he was. Well, you've already won the game, but you're looking to go perfect today. On what state's license plate will you find the slogan, Land of Lincoln?
Oh, that would be either Illinois or Kentucky. I'll go with Illinois.
You're right. Actually, why Kentucky? Nebraska, she said, because Lincoln, Nebraska is where the university is.
No. He was born in Illinois, but he grew up, I believe, mostly in Kentucky.
We have it. 5-3, today's final score. Well-played game by both Donna, our contestant, and the genius that is Bernie McGurk. Bernie, say hello to the lovely Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Bernie. Very good. I'm applauding you. You did good.
Thank you. Well, you did damn well yourself. I'm sorry you didn't win the $100, but How are things out in Staten Island? You getting arrested for wearing a mask, no mask, or something like that?
All the time.
Yeah.
I don't wear a mask, but we have a few Karens around here. But
oh, really? Yeah, Karens.
Sometimes, yeah. You have to be careful. You know, you have to know, like, when to hold it, when to fold it. And I bring a mask with me everywhere I go, though, just in case. I put it on my head.
Yes,
like Kenny Rogers.
You got a big,
there you go.
You big fan of John Tobacco? You're a Staten Island native neighbor?
No, I am not. Well, I'm not a native, so am I a big fan? Yeah, but I don't know too much about my politicians in Staten Island. Believe it or not.
Well, you know Vito Pozzella?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I don't know him. Yeah, and I know a couple of them had some issues with criminality, but
yes,
it's all good.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
Nicole Malliotakis, though, she's clean as a whistle.
She's good. She's good. She's good. Yes, she definitely is.
All right. Well, listen.
I'm also half Jewish.
You're half Jewish?
Yeah.
The better half. The bottom half.
No, the left side.
Okay, good. Well, listen, it was great having you on. You're a lot of fun. You're adorable. Have a great weekend, and be careful.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good weekend, too. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, Donna, baby. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We'll close it out this week. We'll close it out every day on Bernie and Sid. Your chance to talk to us is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
I got some stats here of the last 505 questions. Leave this song playing. 505 questions asked on Beat Bernie. The listeners have gotten 263 correct. That's a 52%. Bernie's gotten 410 correct, 82%.
Wow.
Canned Heat.
That's it.
Making my way upstate. That's it. I am out of here.
Where
today.
The water tastes like wine.
Yeah.
Come on, sing it, bro.
I'm not going to be here Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday.
Like wine.
I'm going to go.
Oh, yes. By the way, we're going to start live on Monday.
What?
You can watch us. Actually, watch us do the show at WABCRadio.com.
Right.
We're going to be streaming a video live.
The whole show.
The whole show.
As if it was simulcast on a cable network, basically.
But I will be without my partner.
Yeah, just Monday.
On Monday, but you'll be back on Tuesday.
Yes.
I'll be here with God knows who.
Peter King, probably.
Probably.
Gabby Lopez, Chad's daughter, does a great job with this streaming thing. It looks really good. It looks like a TV show. Christopher Conti, Doug, the whole crew. And the kids who look like each other, I don't know their names. And so that's going to start on Monday.
I'm going to wear a hairpiece starting Monday.
I like it.
You want to check that out.
A couple of quick calls. We'll get out of here. Bill, Staten Island. Line 7, back to Staten Island where Donna was. Hello, Billy.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you, pal?
Good, good. I just wanted to take some time and thank you guys. I've been wanting to do this. Couldn't find your phone number, believe it or not, but I wanted to do this since last year. I mean, back in March and April, I'm a financial guy. I was tied on the TV for like 12 hours a day dealing with my clients' emotions plus their finances and my own family issues that we're concerned about during COVID. You guys were the only thing that got us out of bed. Got us off our knees, a ray of hope, enthusiasm, sensibility, and kept us going.
Wow.
Fantastic. I will equate it to, in some terms, when George Bush got on the pile and said, you know, we're going to rise up and we're going to go after this.
That is awesome. That's as big as a compliment as you can get.
Very high praise, Bill.
Yes.
Sincerely, we appreciate that sentiment. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work. Continued success.
You too, Bill. One more quick one. Brian is in Paramus. Do I go Paramus or do I go Palisades? Brian has an opinion. Hey. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, I'm a professional driver, Sid, and I live in Paramus my whole life. You're going to go to George to 17. George to 4 to 17 is 10 miles shorter than going George to the 5th to New York Thruway.
There you go. Thank you. You know what time I got oral in Oradell, New Jersey?
You just missed the beautiful view.
So what?
And you do hit traffic lights.
I got a beautiful view every morning to my left right here. That's you. But I'm not going to have it Monday, so send me a naked picture, okay?
Another one?
We're done for the week. We hope you enjoyed it. Matt Meany, just amazing work. O'Halloran, nice to have you back.
Yes.
Ray, Deb Valentine, Frankie, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bernie will talk to you Monday. I'll talk to you Tuesday. Until then, everybody, go at yourself.
What happens?